Father, we love you. We give you praise. We give you glory. You are so good. Thank you for your power that is with us, even through the Word of God. The Word of God is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to divide to this asunder both soul and spirit, go even into the joints and the marrows, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Therefore, Lord, we just want to praise you. We declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause us, O Lord, to receive that light. Let it shine in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, what does it mean? Just a quick review. What does it mean, you know, to separate asunder the soul and spirit? Basically, the soul is where all the emotions are, you know, and the spirit is what directly communicates with the Lord. Now, God is not, you know, a God of emotion like that, you know, because he's always just the same. It's not our emotions. We got to follow the principles of the Word of God, you know, and sometimes even these emotions work against us, you know, like doubt and disappointment and distress and fear and all of these things, you know. But there was a man called David in the scriptures. He knew how to deal with his soul when, you know, he faced moments of distress. Like he would say, "Why thou cast down within me, O my soul," and things like that. And he would speak to his own soul. Now, the word of God is quick. Hebrews 4 and 12. Quick means it's alive. And it is powerful, and it can, you know, separate, it can divide asunder the soul and the spirit. And we explain that meaning that when you hear the word of God, you let your spirit latch onto that word despite whatever is going on in your soul. The soul may be distressed. There may be disappointment. There may be all kinds of things that the devil will try to put up in front of you as barriers. And in the soul, you may be feeling it that, well, I don't know if this is going to work or whatever. But in the spirit, you got to latch onto the word of God. We told a couple of stories yesterday. And I call those your nevertheless moments. When things look this way or that way or not looking the way we want. But when we hear the word of God, we can say within ourselves that although the fig tree shall not blossom, although there is no fruit on the vine, although things be cut off from the stalls and so forth, nevertheless, I will praise the Lord. Nevertheless, I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know, so the nevertheless comes in the face of all those things. Even Martha, she said it. She said, well, I know my brother is dead. But nevertheless, she said, well, I know that even now you can do something. Well, I know whatever you ask, God will give it to you. Praise the Lord. So those were the things we talked about yesterday. But I want to bring us a few more things about the power that is in the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and 63, he said, you know, the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that quickeneth, make alive, is the quickening power of the spirit. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Now those words, when you find them, And you search the Word of God, you find the Word of God that relates to your situation. Allow that Word into your heart and goes in your spirit. And divide, put the soul in its place. The classic story of Peter in Luke chapter 5. Haven't been out there in the lake all night, catching nothing. Normally they would catch some fish. This one night they caught nothing. And they had washed out their nets, come to the shore, packed it in. But when Jesus spoke the word, at first, Peter's first reaction was, well, we've been there, done that all night, caught nothing. But then, you know, that was a nevertheless moment. You know, there's always an opportunity for you to switch into the spirit. Get away from the flesh, the soul that profits nothing. Switch into the spirit. I know we've been there all night and done that and caught nothing, but nevertheless, at your word. And that's the thing. I want to tell you a story today of a woman that heard the word of God, and it made all the difference in the posture, you know. This story is found in the book of 1 Samuel. You know, this woman who we know to be called Hannah, you know, she was the wife of one man, you know, called Elkanah, and he had two wives. The one was pregnant. The other one, Hannah, was not. I mean, the one was fruitful, had children. The other one was barren, Hannah. Yeah, but as she went in the sorrow of her spirit, day after day, day after day, and she went to the house of God, and she was in the sorrow of her spirit. You know, Eli was there, the priest at the time, saw her there, you know. She had sorrow, she was grieved, and she was praying in her soul. Her mouth was moving, but the words were not coming out. So the man thought that she had been drunken, and said, well, how long will it be before you put away that wine? And the woman said, I'm not drunken. This is sorrow of heart. You know, I'm pouring out my heart to the Lord. And then she went on and on and on. And then the man of God said to her something that she latched onto. You know, her husband couldn't console her. In fact, the man had asked her, look, why are you always sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? You might like, no, I need my own children. And so he couldn't do anything to change her situation, but something did that changed her situation. You know, she went, you know, in the bitterness of her spirit, and she prayed and everything. And the Lord said, I mean, she said, Lord, you know, behold, look, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, you know, and remember me and forget not thy handmaid, but will give your handmaid a man child. I will give him unto the Lord the rest of his life. And she made a vow and so forth. You know, when Eli saw that and all that, who thought she had been drunken, she said, you know, said no. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunken neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. And don't count your handmaid as a daughter of Belial, you know. Out of the abundance of the complaint, my heart, have I spoken thereunto, poured out my heart to the Lord. She was crying unto the Lord. This complaint was not, you know, anger against the Lord. It was bitterness of her soul and reaching out to the Lord to do something for her. And so here's the word that she heard that changed the situation. Eli, therefore, knowing that the woman was not drunken, you know, she's doing like she said, then said to her, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition that you have desired of him." Simple words. Now, her husband tried to tell her some things. It didn't work. But she heard this, and you know, and I believe in her heart, she knew that this was the word sent to comfort her from the Lord. And she believed that word. You know, she went, and from that point on, her countenance changed. Before, she wouldn't eat, she wouldn't do anything, but it was like, I'm in this situation. But nevertheless, because of the word of the Lord that I hear today, you know, I'm going to rejoice. And all of a sudden, she started to rejoice. She hadn't got a baby yet, wasn't even pregnant yet, but her countenance was no more sad. There was a change that came. The soul, the sadness, the grief, and so forth that was in her spirit, all of that changed when she heard the word of God. Now, there is power in the word of God. That's what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us. The word of God is powerful. You hear that word, either the Holy Spirit speaks it to you directly, or he brings it to your remembrance, what's in the scriptures, or you find it out there. You take that word, because that word is powerful. I'll tell you something else about the word of God, which you already know too. By faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. This word was how, the spoken word was how God brought everything into existence. That's the power that is in the word of God. All God had to do was speak what was in his mind. Spoke it out. Let there be such and such. And one after the other, it was like that. Now, that word carried so much power. It's the same. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1 verse 1 and John chapter 1 verse 14. This same word we know in the flesh was called Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That word is still the same. Now, you can use that word. There are many people that heard the word of God, no matter their situation. And then all of a sudden, something changed because of the word. You know, in their heart, it's like, well, my situation is this way, but nevertheless, at thy word. You know, that's it. Even though they may not have said it exactly like that, but that was the result of their action. That's what they did. We've read the story of Elijah and the widow woman at Zarephath. When he said to her, "Can you get me something to drink?" And as she was going, "Can you bring me also, you know, a little piece of cake or bread or something for me to eat?" You know, and she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have nothing in the house, but just a little, some little flour, some little oil. I'm gathering a couple of sticks here. I'm going to bake it. It's going to be our last meal. There's nothing else. We are going to eat it. I'll embrace my son and we'll die. That's it. I don't have really anything." But the word of the Lord would change all of that in a minute. But she had to believe it. See, Elijah said to her, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. But nobody is dying today. Today is not a day of death. There will be no dying. You go and do as you said, bake the bread or whatever for you and your son, but it's not going to be your last meal. Glory to God. She thought it was going to be her last meal. That's it. What am I going to tell my son when there's no more food? I will just hold him there and cling on to him and then we'll die. You know, Elijah said, no, not today. He said, thus saith the Lord. Now that word changed everything, but she had to believe it. She had to receive that word and use it within herself to encourage herself. The barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of hell shall not fail. And that was it. She took that word and everything changed. Despite the fact that just a minute before the word was released to her, she was thinking, this is the end. Well, it's not the end yet until God says so. There's always that one more move that God can bring to change the situation, especially through the release of the prophetic word and the spoken word. Now, that word can change everything. It changed everything for her. And they lived many days, herself, her son, and the prophet. Because God already told the man of God, I have prepared a widow woman there to sustain you. But the woman was not only sustaining Elijah, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Elijah sustained the woman as well. This is God. You know, that word has the power to change situations. Then there was the story of the woman that came to Elisha this time and said, well, the creditors have come to take my sons because my husband is now dead. Breadwinner is gone. I don't have anything. But she was looking for the word. Tell me something. And then the man of God said, what do you have? He said, well, nothing really. Well, think again. You got something. She took a moment to think about it. Well, the only thing I really have left is a little pot of oil. What am I going to do with that? And the word of the Lord said, it is enough. It is enough. Here's what you need to do. And despite her situation of going nowhere, I'm at the end of the road. I'm going to lose my sons. They're going to take them away. My whole life is going to be in shambles. That was her thinking until the word of the Lord came. And the word of the Lord came. Her thinking changed, but she had to believe it and she had to act on it. If I do this thing, like it said, situation might change. She began to do exactly what the man of God said. Hey, go get me some pots from all of our neighbors. Borrow not a few. Bring them into me one at a time. That's what the prophet said. And as they brought to her one at a time, she put it in. And she had to keep believing. As long as there were pots coming to her, the oil continued to flow. The oil only stayed when there were no more pots. Then she came. I've done as you said. I got a lot of house. I've got a house. I mean, a house filled with a lot of pots of oil. What do I do now? Go start a small business and create, you know, just do something. Sell the oil, even to back to the people that lent you the parts. And that was how her life changed. There are many situations on and on and on in the scriptures where it is the word of God and someone that would believe that word. I must keep believing. One time the disciples said, look, send them away because it's now the shops are getting closed. We don't have food for them. They've been hanging out for us with us for the whole 3 days or weekend or whatever. Jesus said, well, what would you send them away for? Give them to eat. How can we give them to eat? Look at these people. There's thousands of them. And then where are we? First of all, even if we had the money, where are we going to find the bread to feed all these people? You know? And Jesus said, well, what do you have? See, it's the same question again. What do you have? I said, well, there was a little boy that stepped up and said, hey, I've got my lunch. You can have it. And so these disciples, Andrew and the rest of them, they were thinking, a little boy's lunch? What is that among so many? You know, maybe the little boy can eat it and share with a few little boys. That's about it. And Jesus said, it is enough. See, the word of God was about to change the situation. No matter what the situation looks like, at thy word, at his word. So you got to do it. It's got to be at his word. And Jesus told them, instructed them what to do. They brought it to Jesus, the little boy's lunch. He blessed it, put it back in their hands. And Jesus walked away and gave them instruction. Now, as long as they carried out the instruction the way that the master said, that was the reason why he said it the way he said it. Set them in companies, 50s, 100s, or whatever, and give to them. And now each of these disciples, maybe 12 of them, had some broken pieces of fish in their hands and some pieces of bread. And how in the world are you going to feed 50 people with what's in your hand? Let alone some more after that, because you know, when you finish feeding these 50, you got to believe for the next 50. But it was all because of the word that the master spoke. See, once the word is released, the word of God is quick and powerful. And it will always sustain itself. It carries the power to create change in the situation. And if you can only believe, once you hear that word, and that's why we always say to people, know what the word of God says. Now, God may not speak to you audibly in the situation that you are in right now, but he may already have spoken to you. Maybe he spoke to you in the past. Maybe he even, you know, showed you a promise in the scripture that relates to your situation. Whatever the case, you got to find the word that God already spoke about. I speak these things all the time. But it is the principle. This is how it works. It's a guaranteed process. It's a proven formula. That's why I keep saying it all the time. Yeah. It took me some years to learn it, but giving it to you, if you can learn this thing, you can get it in a few hours of listening and it can change your life. This is the way it works. It's proven that it works all the time. The word of God is the source of life. The words that I speak, John 6 and 63, they are spirit and they are life. It's that word. That's what changes everything. That's what brings life to dead situations. God, Romans 4 and 17, who calls things that are not out of nowhere as though they are. It's by his word. Dead things, Ezekiel 37, dead bones that have been there for a long time. The prophet said, well, I don't know, but nevertheless, at your word, same thing. And the Lord said to him, well, you got to speak to the situation. You got to speak to it. You can't be there just hoping, or wondering. You got to speak to the situation. But first you wait for the word. Or in your case, you look for the word. Look for the word that God has spoken already. That's it. If the Lord already said it, and you can believe it and say it the way the Lord said it, and you can have whatsoever you say. That's what Jesus said. If you can speak to this mountain, Mark 11:23. Now, what is the mountain in your case? Well, you've got to speak to the, but what do you speak to the mountain? Your own words? No. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. So you got to find the word of the Lord and speak the word of the Lord to that mountain. When you speak the word of the Lord to that mountain, some things happen. This is the principle that we teach from time to time. Same thing. Every time we speak on faith, it's the same thing. It's a principle. This is how it works. It's guaranteed. And if you know how to do it, it'll also work for you. But when you speak it though, Jesus said nothing doubting. Or when you hear it, it's also nothing doubting. If you hear the word and you believe it, it'll work for you. And if you yourself speak the word and you believe it, it'll work for you. It's the same thing. And so we need to practice those, you know, using the word of God in what I call those nevertheless moments. Doctors said this tumor is inoperable. Well, that's science. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will believe. You got to believe the word of God. And it's so powerful. It's quick. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's even sharper than surgical instruments and different things. The word of God is like that. So powerful. Now, people, why is it then that if the word of God is so powerful, that can even separate between soul and spirit, that can go in the joints and the marrows, that's a discerner of the thoughts. And why is it then that it's not working? And why people, why? Well, it goes back to the lessons on the keys. And sometimes the key will work, and sometimes it doesn't work. Or sometimes if you don't know how to use it, Jesus instructed us on how to use the spoken word. Yeah. That's a concept of how you use the key. He said, this is how you do it. When you see that mountain, which you cannot move, well, speak the word to it. But whose word are you going to speak? The word of the Lord. You see, that's right. That's what Ezekiel said. He said, thus saith the Lord unto these bones. You know, the Lord already told him what to say, and he spoke the word. He prophesied upon the bones. Bones were on the ground, scattered, been there for many years, but nevertheless at his word. And the word of the Lord in the mouth of the prophet over the bones brought something to happen. There was a shaking and a rattling. And he spoke the word. Now, Ezekiel didn't know exactly what or how. The Lord asked him, can these bones, son of man, can these bones live again? That's the question. He looked at the bones. No way. You know, these bones, they've been there for so long. They've been even scattered. Bone has scattered from bone. Only God knows how long. So the man said exactly the same. Said, thou knowest, Lord. That's a smart answer. Instead of trying to say something you don't know, just put it back to the Lord. Lord said, what? He said, well, yes, you're right. I do know. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do to change that situation that you're looking at. Now, God could have just spoken the word directly without engaging Ezekiel. But the Lord always wants to engage us. And we must also engage him, the word, in the situation. And then Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was instructed. See, that's it. You have to do it as the Lord instructed you upon the bones. He prophesied as he was instructed. Hallelujah. And the Lord has given you also instructions. So when you see that mountain that is in front of you as insurmountable difficulties, whatever it may be, you must speak the word of God to that mountain. Which word are you going to see? Speak to the mountain. Well, find the word that addresses that situation in the scriptures. And if there is nothing in the scripture that addresses that situation, then that problem cannot be solved. You know, if you can't find an answer in the scriptures for a problem that you have, that problem cannot be solved. And there is no problem yet that there is no answer for it in the scriptures. You got to do a little research. You got to search the scriptures. Jesus said it. John 5 and 39 says, search the scriptures. You've got to search the scriptures. See what the scriptures say about this situation. If it's illness, there are many promises about that. If it's heavy burdens, there are many promises. If it's fear that grips your heart, there are many promises. Now, fear, talk about that for a minute. Fear has torment, the Bible says. It's a thing that just, you know, puts people in bondage. And that's why Jesus often, when he comes in a situation, will say, fear not. You know, fear not. And they're carrying a dead casket or whatever, or somebody, I mean, a casket that had a dead person in it. They're afraid. And they go into a house, find a dead person. They're afraid. First thing he'll say is, fear not. You need to get rid of that fear. Fear will make you dismiss. I mean, you will just dismiss that power that's in the word of God through fear. You forget if you entertain that fear. So you got to get rid of that fear. Don't look at the situation. Don't worry how long the bones have been like that. You know, speak the word of God only. And sometimes it may be sickness. It may be something very acute pain. It may be prolonged sickness, something that's been there for a long time. But the word of God is able to change that situation. What you need to do is what we're talking about in this lesson. You need to say, I know my situation has been like this, but nevertheless, at your word, now that I've found the word of God that addresses my situation, I'm going to believe God. And Jesus asked Martha, believest thou this? Do you believe that your brother can rise again? So that's the question. You know, do you believe it? One man came to Jesus in Mark chapter 9, you know, verses 22 to about 24. He said, Lord, if you can do anything, help me. I've talked to your disciples. They couldn't help me. But if you can do anything, you know, help me. My son, the devil is trying to kill him. And Jesus said, it's not about if I can do anything. It's about if you can believe. That's it. That's the thing. Can you believe? Believest thou this? Can you believe? Or do you dare to believe? There's some situations where, I mean, you face insurmountable situations. The Red Sea, for instance. Red Sea moment. You know, some of us have those Red Sea moments where your back is against the wall. There is no way out, humanly speaking. But the devil can never corner the Lord. You know, I love the game of chess, and I've used it to illustrate this type of teaching many times. Those who have mastered the game, there are some great chess players. When you think you got them cornered, they got one move that they can pull out, you know. And even some of those great chess players, they come out there, they survey the board, you know, from the beginning, they can anticipate the moves of their opponents. And in one move, they can checkmate their opponent or toy with them for a while, play with them for a while, you know, but they already knew the move that they are going to make. Now, when you got your opponent's queen cornered to the point where if they don't move out of that situation or defend the queen, it's a check. It's a check. And if every move that they will make to try to get out of that check situation places them in another check situation, which means your queen is about to be captured. And that's a game of chess. Then it's checkmate, because there is any other move that you make when you are in a check situation puts you in another check situation. Then it's over. But see, the devil can never checkmate God. It's impossible. You know, but God can checkmate him with one move right out of the box. Because see, the Lord already knows every move that the devil is ever going to make. He knows it all. Even before the devil, does it. On the other hand, the devil has to wait, because he's not omniscient like the Lord. Doesn't know everything. He's got to wait for God to make a move and then try to foul it up. That's how the devil works. He's got to wait to hear the commandment that God gave you and then come to try to trick your mind against that word. Oh, has God said that you would die if you eat this, you know, luscious fruit? Of course you won't die. See, he had to wait for God to say it first. Then he tried to foul up the thing. But God, on the other hand, he doesn't need to wait for a move from the devil. He already knows every move that the devil is ever going to make. That's why the Lamb of God was slain before the world even began. That's a checkmate. That's it. Right there. God checkmated the devil, checkmated sin, checkmated iniquity, checkmated rebellion, checkmated everything before the world even began. One move. Hallelujah. The Lamb slain before the world even began. Revelation 13 and 8. Even before Adam was born, even before they did the disobedience, God already made the one move that finished it all. Glory to God. Now, if you understand that about God, if you also understand, you know, what the Bible says, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, that all good and perfect gifts come from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. You know, there's no variableness. It's not like today it's so, tomorrow it's not so. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119 and verse 89. The question is it settled in your heart? God is not up and down, yo-yo is what I call it. Variableness. To me, that's yo-yo. One day you are up, and that day you are down. One day the Lord feels good, so he answers your prayer. The next day, he's moody. That's mood swings, you know. When he says, shadow of turning. That's mood swings. You know, gone this way, gone that way. Some day it feels good. He say yes. Another day it doesn't feel good. God is not like that. You know, we are like that. but God is not. And when God's word is forever settled, once he speak that word, if you can latch on to that word, it changes everything. God said to Moses, why do you stand there crying to me? There's something in your hand. Use it. You remember that rod that I gave you? It's in your hand already. Why you stand there? What's in your hand? Do something. Praise God. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, the thing that needs to be in your hand today is the word that God has spoken over your situation. You must find it. That's your first step. I have taught several steps in getting your prayers answered all the time. I call it faith specs. The first thing is you got to find a promise. Search the scriptures for the promise. Hebrews 11:13 lays out four steps that lead you to the results. And it works. I have proven it for years. And you can check it out yourself. He said, these people, they didn't quite have the promise, but they saw the promise afar off. Now, the Lord gave me an acronym out of that verse years ago. Nobody taught it to me. The Holy Spirit did. You know? And he showed me, and I've been teaching it for years. And he walks all the time. Showed me four steps. Simple steps. There's a lot to it though. But condensed it in four words. An acronym. S-P-E-C. S to see the promise. P, be persuaded of it. E, to embrace it. And C, to confess it. Very simple, but powerful. It all starts with the word. No matter what the situation looks like, if you can say, nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, find that word. And stay with that word. Don't try to, you know, worry about how the word is going to bring it to happen. That's God's department. Your department is to find what God said. Search the scriptures to find what God said about the situation. If the Lord said, I will not put any of these sicknesses upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth you. Well, find that word. And sometimes the word may have some conditions around it. We've taught that too. Make sure you settle that. And be persuaded that God is able to fulfill that word. The word will always sustain itself. Once Jesus said, let us go over to the other side, that's it. Doesn't matter whether there is storm, tempest, blow the boat out of the water. It doesn't matter. Jesus already said, let us pass over to the other side. That's it. And Passover, you will. Tempest may come. May water may blow into the boat, may try to blow you out of there, but you will get to that other side because Jesus said so. And it's not the mastery of the boat master or the absence of a storm. It doesn't matter. It is the word. The word must sustain itself. When Jesus spoke the word, he went and slept. That's it. It's done. He has spoken it. Let us pass over to the other side. You can read that story in Mark 4. Popular story. We cite it all the time. If only the disciples had learned. See, these are the things that some of us have learned over the years, and we're trying to give them to you free. We've learned this over the years. If you can remember the word that God spoke over that situation, even before that situation came, even before the storm came, Jesus already said, we're going to the other side. So that's it. That settles it. If they would have remembered that, they would not have panicked. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were persuaded. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2, when thou passest through the fire. And when you pass through the rivers, the fire will not burn you. The river will not drown you. You're coming out on the other side. Because that's what passing through means. You know. So, the promise already says you're coming out on the other side. You're going to pass through the storm. It's not if, it's a when. But you also have assurance that the storm will not finish you. You know, there is no storm that should be able to finish you, because God already said you're coming out on the other side. Glory to God. When thou passest through, and David knew it. That's why he said in Psalm 23 and verse 4, he said, when I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because passing through means coming out on the other side. So they were persuaded, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But also they embraced it for the moment. God is able to do it, and he will do it. See, that's the difference between being persuaded and also embracing it. Persuaded means you know God is able to do it. Most believers, you know, persuaded that God can do everything. But when it comes to embracing it for their moment, in their own moment of passing through the storm, that's where we fail. Martha knew that, you know, God can raise the dead. She knew that. You know, she knew that Jesus could do it. But when it came to her situation and her brother was in the grave, she struggled with that. And Jesus said, well, do you believe it? He said, well, yeah, I believe you'll come out on, you know, the resurrection and whatever. But no, Jesus was talking about the moment, in this moment, not some future thing. Right now. See, that's the thing. Right now, right here, today, do you believe it? So that's the thing. That's the embrace part. And then you must confess it with your mouth. See, even salvation must be confessed with our mouth. The book of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 tells you, you got to believe it in your heart, but you got to confess it with your mouth. If you don't confess it with your mouth, you can't be saved. You believe it, but you got to say it. See, that is the secret, and it's so powerful. You got to say it. That's why you should also be careful not to say negative, unbelieving stuff that will put you into captivity. Because a man is ensnared by the words of his mouth. Proverbs 6 and verse 2. And God himself said it, powerful, in Numbers 14 and 28. If you say anything in my ear, I hear it, that's what I will do. What you have spoken in my ears, that will I do. Unfortunately, for those people, what they spoke into God's ears, from your mouth to his ears, what they spoke was negative stuff. And we can't do it. God said, you can. They said, no, we can't. We're like grasshoppers. We're like this, we're that. And God said, well, then you will not do it. See, and you will know my breach of promise. Now, that's a powerful, dangerous place to be. When God said yes, and you with your own mouth says no, then God can't help you. See, when God has said yes, you must also say yes. Yes, I can. Because God said so. Philippians 4 and 13, Paul said, I can do all things because God said so. Through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. That's right. And you got to know that. Eh? You know, once you know it, though, and you speak it, Jesus said, well, that's not all. See, most people, the reason that we make declarations, but it doesn't work. As you know, give teachings about why some keys will not work. You know, even though you have the key, may not work because you don't know how to use it. Or you don't even know which door it opens. And then it's no use. It's the same thing. People make declarations and it doesn't work. Because Jesus gave a secret. You see, there is something you must do and continue to do even after you have spoken that word that you found. You know, it doesn't end with you finding the word, believing it and speaking it. You know, it doesn't end with that. Jesus said you must continue to believe. Do not doubt in your heart. It may not happen immediately, but it has already happened in the spirit. You just haven't seen it yet. That same story in that Mark 11 chapter, Jesus spoke to the tree. And, you know, it looked as if nothing happened. But Jesus knew that something happened. Jesus didn't wait around to see that the tree would die. All he said was, well, you did not bring forth fruit, so you're done. Nobody will eat of you anymore. That's it. And he just went his way. And it didn't look like anything happened, but Jesus brought the disciples back around to pass through that way the next day so they would see the tree. So the next day they came back and they saw the tree. Now, nobody really understood what Jesus meant when he said, well, you're done. Nobody will eat of you anymore. They didn't know what it meant, you know. But when they came back the next day and saw that the tree had withered away in one day, the tree that had leaves that looked so green afar off, Jesus said the tree looked green and everything. And he came there thinking to find fruit. He didn't find any fruit. It looked so good one day. The next day it was completely dead. No leaves. And the disciples said, my goodness, the tree you cursed yesterday. Wow. I said, yeah, that's why I brought you back this side to see it. And Jesus said, look, you can do the same. But he gave them a secret. Not only when you speak that word, that situation, but you must continue to believe the word. And I say it to you this way, and I said it, and I say it again. Faith sees that promise afar off, like a finish line. Faith will see it. But believing is what gets you there. When you doubt along the way, you're going to start to sink. When Peter stepped out of the boat, he said, nobody can walk on water. Peter was trying to say, you can't do that. Peter said, the master said, come. You know, that's it. His friends that in the boat, they said, you can't walk on water. You're not Jesus. He said, no, the master said, come. That's it, boy. And he stepped out of that boat. And people were looking, wait, say, my goodness, Peter is walking on the water, just like Jesus. And Peter was walking on water. Walk on, Peter. Walking on the water, just like Jesus. He was going. And Jesus was waiting for him to come. That's right. On the strength of the word that Jesus spoke, Peter stepped out by faith. And this Peter man, he was somebody that dared to believe. Now, of course, he had to keep believing. Had to keep his eyes on Jesus. Can't look around. You know. So, but, you know, at first, he was walking on water. And some people say Peter had no faith. No, Peter had faith. He actually did walk on water. The rest of the disciples couldn't say that. They didn't walk on water. They were saying, Peter, you can't do that. He said, I can because Jesus said so. And he stepped out of that boat by faith. But you see, Jesus taught the secret. You start by faith, you continue with faith. If you doubt, it's over. You know. So I went, what causes doubt? He looked around and said, my goodness, I can't walk on water. You know, I got all these waves and all these things. The waves were there the whole time. As long as you kept your eyes on Jesus, never mind the waves, you are walking on the water, Peter. But when you took your eyes off of Jesus and looked around you, yeah, those waves will make your heart to faint. So you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. I can't walk on water. Now, all of a sudden, he began to drown. You know, but thank God he called out, and the Lord showed us those lessons, you know. Faith sees the promise. And the word of God said, come. You step out by faith in the boat, out of the boat by faith, upon the promise. You see, Jesus was telling him, come, walk on the water. But Peter was walking on that promise. Notice, wasn't exactly the water. He was on the call. Jesus said, come. And Peter was walking on that beckoning. Come. Say what? Because that's what he said. If it be you, master, bid me come. Because they thought it was a ghost. He said, if it's you, bid me come. And he said, all right, come. And on the strength of that word, he stepped out on the word. Not just on the water. Stepped out on the word. And yet, if you start out on the word, having begun in the spirit, you cannot try to continue it in the flesh. You got to stay in the spirit. So that's the thing. You got to keep believing. You must not doubt. Jesus said, if you doubt, it's over. Speak the word. Believe it. Don't doubt. Keep believing until you see the results. And take you 25 years. One man changed his name. He said, well, don't call me Abraham anymore. Call me Abraham. But now, I'm going to have multiplicity of children. You don't even have a child. How can you be calling yourself father of nations? Get one child first. Then we'll know that you're on your way, they said to him. Say, no, God said so. And that's it. If you call me Abraham, I'm not going to answer you. My name is Abraham. What is my name? Abraham. He will spell it to them. You know, and he believed God. Took him 25 years. One man also called Caleb. Took him 45 years, but he believed God. You know, he believed God. He said to Joshua, finally, when Joshua was distributing the land, he said, give me this mountain. Because 45 years ago, you were there. I believed the Lord. All the others didn't believe, but you knew I believed God. And the man of God said to me that you will get this place. It took him 45 years. People talk about 25 years I took Abraham. It took Caleb 45 years, but he kept believing. Only he and Joshua, out of all that generation that came out from that place, finally made it there. But they had to keep on believing. In his heart, Caleb said, look, 45 years ago when I was 40 years old, I was ready to go and take, but my brethren wouldn't let me. Their voices overpowered mine. They said, we can't do it. But I said, we could do it. I wholly followed the Lord. And you know what the man of God said to me. And I'm now, we're here. I can see it. I can taste it. But right there, I want mine. What's mine? Give me this thing. I'm 85 years old now. But I've been believing God for 45 years. And I can still do it. Praise God. Now, how long have you been believing God for that situation that you're in right now? It's not even 45 years yet. But will you continue to believe? I'm going to pray with you right now. The word of God is what creates the change. And you got to use that word to divide between your soul and your spirit. When soul says, I can't do that. It's discouraging. I've been doing that all night. I've been believing God. I've gone for prayer meeting. I've gone for this. I've gone for that. That's your soul. We'll be telling you that. But your spirit must say, nevertheless, at his word. That will be a new word or a reminding that the Holy Spirit will do for you, according to John 14 and 26. The Holy Ghost will bring to your remembrance something that the Lord already said about that situation. And if you can believe it and keep on believing and use the word to put the soul in its place and say, nevertheless, at his word, I believe God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Paul said, sirs, I believe God. We're facing a storm. They are all about to perish. Paul had warned them, hey, don't go. Let's wait until the storm passed. He said, no, we must set sail. We must set sail. Well, Paul said, the Lord has shown me it's a terrible storm coming. And we need to wait. But they didn't. They set sail. And their lives were almost destroyed. And Saul said, yeah, I told you. You should have listened. But nevertheless, now, let me tell you another thing. The angel of the Lord stood by me this night. And sirs, I believe God. In spite of this storm that we are in right now, I believe the Lord because the Lord already sent his angel to speak to me. Now, do you believe God in the situation that you are in? God will strengthen you through that situation by his word. That's how it comes. Look for that word and latch onto it. He'll get you there. Get you out of that storm. He'll get you through that fire. You'll get to the other side. No storm will finish you. No fire will finish you. It'll make you stronger. You'll come out of there. Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, look, I don't care how long the night lasts. It cannot last forever. So when you're going through the night, you remember the word. Say, sorrow may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. The night cannot last forever. Ladies and gentlemen, we've just entered the spring time. The winter time could not last forever. Now it's springtime. Glory to God. You know, the night, even every day. See, God teaches us this lesson. That's why the Lord did not remove the darkness completely. He just commanded the light to shine. But he left the darkness in place to teach us this lesson of life. Every single day, you're going to be reminded of the ups and downs of life. For as long as there is night and day, that's a reminder. Because in the beginning, God could have said, let there be light and let the darkness be no more. He could have said that. And there would have been no more darkness. But he didn't say that. He kept the darkness in place. He even gave it a name. Because there was a purpose to it. There's a lesson he wanted to teach us. He called the darkness night. He gave it a name. That means he has a purpose for it. And he gave the light a name. He called it day and the evening and the morning. While the first day until today. You still have night and day. So, in the day of prosperity, in the daytime, rejoice. Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. But in the nighttime, consider. Consider that God has set the two side by side for a reason. Also consider in the nighttime that the night cannot last forever. Speak the word while you are in the nighttime. And when you are in the nighttime, remember also the word that God spoke to you while you are in the light, in the day. See, the day and the light is like when we are on the mountaintop. Sometimes you have joy, great testimonies of great things, and the Lord is speaking. You are hearing his voice of great things that the Lord is doing, and he speaks, he does it, and so many wonderful. You are on cloud nine. And sadly, The next day, you wake up, you're all gloomy and everything. And it's like the whole world comes crashing down. You were just on the mountaintop yesterday. Why is it today that you are down the valley? Well, that is life. The ups and downs. But nevertheless, even when you are in the valley, you got to remember there are moments when you are there. And it's like you can't even hear his voice. It seems as if the Lord is not speaking, but he already spoke. See, he already spoke to you when you are in the light. And you got to remember what he spoke to you then, back then, now that you are down. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He will bring to your remembrance. Hallelujah. Where he said, look unto me and be ye saved. I will help you. I will uphold you. The right hand of my righteousness. You got to remember that. Isaiah did. And then he came out and said, I know that the Lord will help me. Because he already said so. And I will not be dismayed. I will set my face like a flint. Because I know the Lord has said so. He will help me. And he made that declaration of faith. I may be going through right now, he said, but nevertheless, because of what he told me. See, God told him in Isaiah 41 verse 10, he told him. And then when he got to 50 verse 7, he made this declaration. God told me he will help me. But I'm not going through right now, but I'm going to remember what he said. And he used that to put his soul that was distressed in its place. I will not be confounded. I will not be ashamed. I'm going to set my face as a flint. I'm going to separate the gloominess and all of that. No, I'm not doing any of that. The Lord already told me that he's going to help me. So, Father, I pray for everyone that's listening to me today, listening to this word. And Lord, your word is forever settled in heaven. Teach us, Lord, and grant us the grace to believe it and enact it for ourselves. And to use it to put the doubting, unbelieving, discouraging, and all this stuff that's in the soul, put it in its place and latch on to the word of God. Thank you, Father. And we already know that victory is assured. In the world, Jesus said, John 16 and 33, you shall have many challenges. Nights, even after your day, the night comes. And after the night, the day comes, the cycles. You shall have these things, but be of good cheer. I've overcome for you. You're going to make it. Praise God. I'm going to make it. And you need to declare to the enemy of your soul today that I'm going all the way. I'll see you on the other side. I may be passing through right now, but I'll meet you on the other side because I'm going to get there because the Lord said I'm getting there. Praise the Lord. Faith has seen the other side. Believing gets you there. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.